second and final hour of today's show. Nothing really going on tonight, Monday, right, as far as KFK's schedule. So it will ramp up, though, as the week progresses. We'll get to tomorrow night will be nuts because I know this. We're going to have Inside the Bears Den, Jason Alvin going live there 6 to 7 o'clock. He'll be talking all things about both sides, UNC men's and women's side of their Big Sky Conference brackets. So we're looking forward to that program. Going to be good. And then right after that, Preps basketball playoffs. So still a lot to go. That's going to be just Tuesday. We know Wednesday, 9 o'clock. That's going to be UNC's first game against Sacramento State. They'll have a chance if they can win that. Then they go up against the best team in the conference in Southern Utah. So we'll get to more and more of that as we go. It's going to be a crazy, crazy week. Conference schedules are out. Conference tournament schedules are out. Let's start with the CU Buffs. The Buffs finished in the number three seed, so not bad. I mean, a very high finish there. They're already in March Madness, so the pressure to get into the tournament isn't there. However, I'm sure Tad Boyle, McKinley Wright, want to get as much success out of his career as a Buff as they can. Because this, I like what Mark Johnson says about this Buffs team. We are in the golden age of Colorado Buffaloes basketball. And I just, those folks that complain about Tad Boyle, it's like, man, you're not going to get any better than this. This is what it's about. They put themselves, they get a shot, getting to the tournament. Yes, they need to win a first-round game. I'd like to see that, obviously. I think it would feel like a letdown if they don't. The Buffs have not been a letdown team. Last year, they were so good. They got into the top 25 a couple of times, but then they dropped those last five games, and it showed us, okay, maybe they are a letdown team. This year, had the scare with Cal, lost that game, but recovered from it. And I think that might be the kick in the butt that they needed, that learning tool. Losing to Cal like that might be tough. So here's what it looks like for Colorado. They will play the winner between Stanford and California. They beat Stanford both times this year. Last time was 69-51. McKinley nearly had a triple-double. He had 14 points in that one. Then they beat him a little bit earlier in the season, 77-64. Against Cal, they destroyed Cal in that first game, 89-60. And just kind of fell asleep at the wheel. When they played Cal the last time and lost, 71-62, they shot 20% from the three-point line, 3 of 15. Yeah, it's going to be tough to win games when you don't make shots. That's just it. That's what Tad Boyle said. He's like, we were not making shots. Then against Oregon, the next game, you know, they lose that game, but they kind of come out and they felt good about themselves, still doing all the right things, just couldn't get some of those buckets to fall in that game. Since then, they've been undefeated. They won four in a row to put themselves back in the position for us to even talk about CU somehow winning the regular season title. Of course, that would have been far-fetched, and it proved to be that way. But finishing number three, they'll go up against Stanford or Cal. That'll be Thursday, March 11th, 8:30. I believe these are mountain times. 8:30 on ESPN. So Stanford, Cal then. They win that game. They'll move on to Friday, March 12th, still 8:30 on ESPN. They'll play the winner of USC and whoever that is, Utah or Washington. So probably going to be CU and USC on that Friday matchup. That's my guess. That's my prediction. On the other side of the bracket, the Pac-12, Oregon will play the winner of Arizona State and Washington State. Oregon State will play UCLA on Thursday, so they won't play Wednesday. They both advance to the second round. So there you go for the Buffs. Hey, why not? They're playing just as good at basketball as any in the Pac-12 at this stage. Oregon and UCLA will certainly have a battle on their hands if they both advance to that semifinal game or to the quarterfinal game on Friday. And then, of course, CU, USC, that'll be tough. But who knows? I kind of like the Buffs to win that. Again, the venom of winning that is not as great as what we're looking at for CU and CSU, or UNC and CSU. As for the Bears, UNC finished with an eighth seed. They'll play Sacramento State at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. That game will be heard right here on 1310 KFK. We'll have the pregame set for 8:30, so an early one there. Then if they win that game, which I think it's important for UNC, this young group, Coach Smiley's first year, kind of a weird year, 500 basically, 500 type year, and had a lot of COVID stops. I know there's no excuses for anybody, but this year just seemed so bizarre for the Bears. Started with CSU. They thought they were going to play CSU. That didn't happen. They're rocked there. Then COVID happens, and it just kept going on, man. It was a tough ordeal. So then if they win that game, they'll go up against Southern Utah, the best team in the conference. Who knows? I mean, this is a team, if you remember, I know things change in the course of a few months, but you remember UNC battled it out with one of the Mountain West top teams in Utah State. They had a damn good game against Utah State. Utah State pulled away late, but the Bears were in it. And at that point, you thought, okay, this team could be pretty good. Then they just got in this stage where they couldn't close teams out. They'd be up by 15, 20, couldn't close teams out. And then the COVID break hits. So it's like this team just never really got their footing. And I know that there's several teams in the country that can say the same thing. But it was just a bizarro time for UNC. If they somehow beat Southern Utah on Thursday, again, I think that game's going to be at 12, Colfax. I got two different things in front. I got a bracket telling me that it's 1 o'clock, but I got the press release saying it's 12, so I'm going to go with the press release. If they win that game, they go to the semifinals and take on either the winner between Idaho State and Montana State. And, then if they do that, we'll have that Big Sky Conference championship game on Saturday, March 13th at 8 o'clock. So, should be good. Mountain West Conference. Now, prediction if you want me to. Okay, so I think CU could win the Pac-12. I really do. I think they're going to go to the championship. I'm going to go that far. UNC, I like them to get past the first round. I just don't see it happening in the quarterfinals against Southern Utah. I don't. Keep in mind, the Bears and Sacramento State never played this year. That game was one of them that got canceled due to COVID. So the Mountain West Conference, you've got CSU getting in at that third seed, and they'll play the winner of Fresno State, New Mexico. I don't see CSU having an issue there, so I think they move right on to the semifinals. Utah State will play the winner between Air Force and UNLV. Probably Utah State, you know, if you're just going to go on paper, Utah State wins that, and then it's going to be a bloodbath. CSU and Utah State in the semifinals. On the other side of that bracket, San Diego State will play the winner between Wyoming and San Jose State. We'll see. Maybe Wyoming can find some magic. Doubtful. So I think San Diego State moves on to the semifinals. Boise State plays Nevada. That's not a gimme. Boise State, they lost their last three games of the season, and okay, they lost to San Diego State, but they dropped to Fresno State. They lost 67-64, so Boise State's not playing their best basketball right now. Nevada just comes off of a win against CSU. Maybe they're feeling good about themselves. I'm not going to go as far to pick that upset. So I'm going to say, yeah, Boise State advances. San Diego State, Boise State, third time's a charm. I think San Diego State does it again. And I'm going to say CSU does win against Utah State. They make it to the semifinals. The semifinals. The championship. I think the championship's going to come down to San Diego State and CSU. And this was the controversy, right? Just have them play each other for the regular season title. And you know what, man? I'm not counting out the Rams. I'm just not. I'm going to say CU goes to the Pac-12 championship. I don't think they get past Oregon. I'm going to say the Bears get past round one. It's going to be a tall task to get past Southern Utah. I think their season ends on Thursday. CSU... Call me crazy, man. I know that Nevada game was weird. I feel like this team's special. And I've been saying it all year. I feel like this is a special basketball team. You got a special head coach. Hopefully you can keep him. You got some special players. David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens, among us, a bunch of great players for this team. So I like CSU. I'm going to post that out on Twitter. But I like CSU to win this thing. It is going to be a battle. Now, they were getting blown out against San Diego State in that first game. They come back. They win. They kind of got blown out the next game that they played. They lost 78-65, if you want to call that a blowout. But that was one of the biggest wins in this program in a long time, was the win over San Diego State and the way they did it. Kind of became the comeback kids. But I do like it. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it. Those are all of my games of the week. I just looking back at it, and again, nobody had a fair shake in this as far as COVID. But I really do feel that with UNC, it's like every time they started to get some momentum, boom. You know, every time something happened, COVID would take hold, whether it was their program or another program. And so, again, there's tons, hundreds of programs that have gone through the same stuff, if not worse. But as I'm talking about these three teams, CSU got it early. You know, it happened to them early. And then, of course, kind of got screwed out of winning the regular season title because of the way this was all said and done. So really, nobody left this thing unscathed. Hopefully we can just get into conference tournament play and away we go. And we'll see, man. I mean, legitimately, Colfax, three teams have a chance that we talk about as far as local, from Boulder to Fort Collins, and then in between here in Greeley. Boy, did you hear about the party in Boulder over the weekend, man? What the hell happened down there?
Craziness.
What was that? Like hundreds of them. Just out partying in the streets.
Yeah.
Tipping cars over. Throwing rocks at cops. I mean, that was a bad deal. They're like in a deep investigation, and it's pretty serious, Colfax. It's like, done. If they catch you, you're done. You're done at CU. I mean, imagine that. You get kicked out of CU because you were partying on the street. Tipping over cars.
Crazy.
Just going nuts. Just what were they protesting anything, or were they just partying?
It was a protest party.
It was? Was it actually protest?
I think so. I think that's what people are saying.
Wow.
But I mean, not organized protests. Like, they were partying because they're sick of being cooped up and not allowed. Yeah.
And then they just flipped out and ruined everybody's.
Yeah. I don't blame them for having a party, but like,
start ruining private property and
what's that about?
Assaulting police officers and. Yeah, I mean, the party, whatever. This is what's going to happen. You keep people cooped up for so long, they're going to start losing their minds. But there's no excuse to do 95% of the rest of what happened. Yeah. People were, like, filming it. There was one person that was, like, filming their own car. It was, like, their own car being tipped over. They're like, holy crap. This is awful. I mean, there were tons of them out there, man. It's a big deal. So will that be that's an embarrassing thing for Boulder. That's an embarrassing thing for the college. So, I mean, is that a distraction to the players? Probably not. I would imagine none of them were involved in that. But still, you know, you want to represent your school well now, especially now, because I saw a lot of people that I follow on Twitter, a lot of sports guys, insiders, writers, tweeting out it's an embarrassing day for Boulder. Embarrassing day. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a tough go. Weird weekend. 18 minutes after the hour, Colfax. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, NBA second half of the season. What do the Nuggets need to do to take the next step? They're a sixth seed. I would have never predicted them to be sitting at sixth at this stage at the second or at the first half point. But here they are. They have work to do. Joker, hopefully he can get a good rest. They don't play till Friday. That'll be nice for them. Get some time off. They play Memphis on Friday. So we'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service joins us as a great sponsor of this program. They've been with us for a while. Service is as unique as life. It's a complicated conversation to have, no question, but it's important. Give Scott, Robin, or a member of their great staff. Talk to them today about pre-planning. It's an awesome gift. That's 970-330-6824. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Text KFKA to that number, 970-478-1301. And If you want to get involved in our March Madness tournament, Colfax, we've got a few left that we can offer here. We're kind of starting to cut it off here, but I thought I'd throw a few more out there. We'll go caller number 3 and 4, March Madness. All I need is your email address, 970-353-1310, or toll-free 877-353-1310. Callers 3 and 4. I just need your email address. We'll get it through. CBS Sports is where we're doing the Bracket Challenge, and we're getting a ton of great sponsors that are throwing out gifts for this. So somebody's going to walk away a big-time winner. So callers 3 and 4 just need an email address, 970-353-1310. Some of the big storylines going into the NBA second half of the season. Well, first off, you got March 25th is the trade deadline. And that's where, Nuggets got to figure out, what they want to do. And I don't think they're going to make any moves. I mean, now they've got some momentum going. They need to get healthy. They need to get Paul Millsap back in the lineup and Gary Harris. P.J. Dozier's been getting back in that lineup. Jamichael Green. I don't see them moving at all. I don't see any moves. I think the Nuggets stand pat and just go with this group heading in. And I know some people want to see a bigger move made because they think they need another big-time superstar. Bottom line is Jamal Murray's playing like a superstar the last 10 to 15 games. So you need him to do that, and if he can, as long as he can do that, and again, you're banking on him again. That's what you did in the offseason, and it almost came back to bite you, but you've dug yourself out of that pit that you put yourself in. Now you just got to find a way to keep it going with Jamal, and then Michael Porter Jr. just to keep taking the step. So a lot's interesting to me. Utah, can they keep it going? They're sitting at 27-9. Can they keep this thing going? It's still hard for me to believe that they can. I know they got a huge game coming up in May against the Nuggets. I'm just looking at some of the Nuggets' key games there. That's when, remember, Joker went off last time they played. Brooklyn. You saw the news today. They got Blake Griffin. I don't know if he has anything left in the tank, but they're just getting names. They're gathering names. And Brooklyn is, KD's out for a little bit, but he should be back soon. Can they get all their guys on the court? They're sitting at 24-13, but that's another one of those monster teams that we're seeing, those superstar teams to go. Philadelphia 76ers, as far as the NBA power rankings are concerned, and ESPN, they're sitting at third. Fourth is the Los Angeles Lakers, 24-14. Suns, again, Suns are second in the West, but the power rankings have them at fifth, so not full-on believers just yet. 24-11 is their record. The Clippers sitting at sixth. The Milwaukee Bucks at seventh. Portland Trail Blazers sitting at eighth. Can they get healthy? I mean, C.J. McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic, they're in the kind of the same spot as Denver in this regard. They think they have the tools. But can they get them all out on the floor at the same time, and can they take the necessary steps? Damian Lillard is a star. C.J. McCollum, great player. Has he crossed over into the star? No. Yusuf Nurkic, good player. None of those two guys, again, Nurk, we haven't seen him on the floor much in the last 2 years. I mean, I love watching Nurk play. Completely different than Joker, but I like watching him play. So, I mean, the Blazers are an interesting one in the West. As for the Nuggets, ESPN says, second half storyline, can Michael Porter Jr. raise the Nuggets from West contender to West power? And I've said this a bazillion times. Jamal's going to be Jamal. He might still be inconsistent. I hope not. Porter, we haven't been able to label him inconsistent yet. We haven't really been able to label him. You could say he's bad at defense and stuff, but he's still so young. He only has like an equivalent of a season under his belt. So he's just now like approaching his sophomore season, if you want to look at it that way. So, yeah, to me, I still believe Porter has to be the big-time star, and Jamal's going to be good and still a superstar, but I think they're going to have their big three. That's the hope, is that it's these three, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr., that they're building around. But this is the same question. This was the same if or question that you had in the offseason. Can Michael Porter Jr. take the next step and be a good player? Can he be better at defense? Can he learn the offense more and learn how to work with Joker? The last 4 or 5 games, as we saw the Nuggets win a few of those big ones, he was starting, it looked like, really starting to click with the Joker. And I think that's going to be absolutely huge. Porter, though, again, if you want to talk about it, so much was put on him to start this season off, right? Well, COVID kept it. How long, man? He was out for like 3 weeks. So COVID messed with him even more so than I remember a lot of players being messed with. Again, I don't know if that was other stuff included. But Denver has shown us the kind of team they can be when they're clicking. But they've also shown us that they can be wildly inconsistent. They can have third quarters from hell that evaporate leads for them. So they're going to have to figure that out. That third quarter, I think that's the big thing. If you want to get into like specifics with the Nuggets, they have to figure out those third quarters and why they seem to be a bugaboo for them. But if you're right now, you've won 5 out of your last 6 games, including beating Portland, Milwaukee, smoking Milwaukee, beating Indiana, beating Chicago. So you're feeling pretty good about yourselves, even though you had that weird Washington loss there that's in the middle. I mean, we would be on Nuggets would be on a 6-game winning streak, maybe, if they go to overtime instead of taking a crazy 3-point shot, Facu Campazzo. I don't think that's how you draw it up. First few games out the gate, you're at Memphis, home against Dallas, home against Indiana, home against Charlotte, home against Chicago, home against New Orleans. So you're on the road for that first trip against Memphis. But now you got a lot of home games here. Heck of an opportunity for Denver to start to make a move. And, you know, with a few big ones coming up later in the month of March and early April, it would be huge if they could start to put some distance between themselves and that 7th spot. Because, again, with the new playoff rule, 7-8 doesn't guarantee you in a series at all. 7-8 just guarantees you get a play-in game now. And as of right now, it goes Jazz 1, Suns 2, Lakers 3, Clippers 4, Blazers 5, Nuggets 6. So they are in the playoffs as of right now. And then San Antonio and Dallas would have to play each other for the rights of the number 7 spot. And the loser would play the winner between Golden State and Memphis. And Golden State now on the outside looking in, but I cannot imagine Golden State. I mean, I feel like Steph Curry is playing on a different planet right now, so watch out for Golden State to make a big-time run. Dallas is starting to figure it out. This Western Conference is no freaking joke. I mean, I didn't expect Utah to be this good. We expected them to be a playoff team. Phoenix gets Chris Paul, and suddenly they're the second-best team in the West with Booker. You know, Lakers, Clippers, we knew they were going to be good. Portland, we knew they were going to be a playoff team. Denver's there. We knew they'd be in the mix here. What I was curious with to see where San Antonio, Dallas, and Golden State, where that would go. And right now, we're kind of taking turns. But Denver needs to go on a big-time run here. Memphis is a 500 team. On the road, still should be able to win that game. Win a good stretch of these home games here and start to pull away. Get out of that danger zone sitting at number 7. And then we'll find out later, you know, in the offseason if we ended up liking that. There's parts of me that likes it, but Dempsey said it last week. He's like, it does kind of suck for teams to battle all year to get into that 7th spot, and then they just lose 2 in a row. Or the 8th spot, you lose 2 in a row and you're out. Which, again, if you're in a series and you lose 2 in a row, chances of coming back are getting tough. So, but it is against 2 different teams, and so that is a little weird. And so I can understand where, but I do kind of like the fact that you have Golden State at 9, Memphis at 10, Pelicans at 11, Thunder at 12, all realistically have a shot to get in. So you're not going to see a lot of tanking. Like Minnesota's done 7-29. Houston's, I would say, pretty much done 11-23. Sacramento's hanging on by a thread. Thunder hanging on by a thread. Bottom line, though, it's going to be interesting. This year, it is what it is. Denver just needs to stay out of that 7th and 8th spot. 32 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break, Colfax, and let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Auto Tailor knows that everything revolves around technology, so they also make sure that they have skilled technicians paired up with that cutting-edge vehicle diagnostics so that they can take care of your vehicle. Whatever it is that you drive, they'll take care of it. Maybe you're having some weird issues going on, and you're hearing it. You know, it's clicking, it's clunky, whatever it is, take it to Auto Tailor or routine oil change, flat tire. They'll take care of you. Brent is an excellent guy and a wonderful business owner, and I've been taking my vehicles there for a very long time, pretty much as soon as they moved into Greeley. Had a great friend refer me to Auto Tailor, and since then, they've been taking care of my vehicles. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. They're located in Greeley off 16th Street. What is it, like 16th and 11th Ave or something? I think it's 11th Ave. Yeah, check it out. Tell them we sent you. Love that place. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Man, it's kind of sounding like George Payton is going to stay the course here. I mean, the Deshaun Watson talk has fizzled. Is this because Houston has truly put their foot down? Said, hey, we're not doing it. Because you're not hearing anymore, what would it take? What would it take? What would it take? Or is Houston staying quiet and then they're going to pounce on draft day? Hey, he's available, but it's going to cost you four first rounders, two second rounders, third rounder, a good player. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't see the Broncos making this move. I think it's too rich. Now, what's interesting about this? Okay, so they have, I'm looking now, $35 million in cap space the Broncos have right now. And that is, again, showing team options with both Kareem Jackson and Von Miller. Von Miller's cap hit would be $22 million. And Kareem Jackson's cap hit is a little under $13 million. So assuming they keep both of those, you have $35 million right now. $35 million. What happens? Okay, Zach told us today you want to keep $10 million. Let's just say $10 million for rookie contracts, and then you're going to go $7 million for Shelby Harris. So I mean, you're sitting at like $18 million, and then again, if you're going Tim Patrick, Philip Lindsay, Alexander Johnson, that's another $10 million between those all three of them. So now you have like $8 million. $8 million is going to do what? You know, maybe get you another free agent or something along those lines. But if you're able to work with Vaughn a few million here and there, yeah, you can get that $8 million up to $12-13 million. But ultimately, it sounds like George Payton wants to take care of Broncos that were here last year. Now, I'm still very curious to see what they do with these tenders on both Alexander Johnson, Tim Patrick, and Philip Lindsay. If you put a second-round tender on any of those guys, that means they're Broncos next year. That means it's going to cost not only a team signing them to $3, $4, $5 million, but it's going to cost them a second-round pick as well. If you do that, that means that you're saying hands off. But if you really love this guy, then yeah, we'll take a second-round pick for him. Not going to happen with Philip Lindsay. You still feel like they're not? Like, it's, they've just got one foot in, one foot out with Lindsay. This is an Elway thing, and now it's a George Payton thing. Just not real sure that Denver's buying in to all that Philip Lindsay is about. And maybe that's how Broncos country feels, too, about the guy. You know, his first 2 years, he was a 1,000-yard rusher, 2,000 yards. Last year, 500, but he was hurt a lot, which goes against him. It does. I just feel like Lindsay is, don't you feel like he's out the door? If they don't put a tender on him and they basically say any team can contact you and pay you and we get the chance to match it, but will Denver do that? This will give Lindsay a chance to find a new opportunity, and I feel like he's been mishandled since day one. I don't know how the rest of his career is going to shape out. But there was really no loyalty to this guy who, you know, you didn't draft him. He's in your backyard. You can go watch his games anytime, his home games, when he's playing for CU. You've signed him as an undrafted free agent. He was on the bottom of the depth chart. He worked his way up in the depth chart in that first year, ultimately became your featured back. I mean, he was it offensively, I would say, that first year. Second year, did it again. 1,000 yards. All right. John Elway's happy, says we're going to work out a deal. Things are good. They don't. Instead, they go out and pay Melvin Gordon $8 million a year for 2 years. And that starter money, they can say they were sharing the load, but one guy's getting $8 million. The other guy's, what was Lindsay at? $1 million? I don't even know what his contract was at. So, I mean, that is where, you know, now you go to this situation and it's all right. They're gonna keep you, maybe. They're gonna put a tender on you. Maybe it's a, you know, original pick tender, which would be nothing. Which would mean you don't care enough about him if a team comes in. If you put a second round tender, I think you show him a little more respect, knowing that team won't do that, and you keep Lindsay on your roster for another season, and you see if he can go crazy. I think you have to put a second round tender on him. Because Gordon's gonna probably miss the first few games. Do you really want to make a running back not just a priority? Listen, drafting a running back is probably not a bad idea. I could see them drafting a running back. But do you want to waste a third-round pick on a running back? Or do you want to fill up your defensive needs, which is corner, inside linebacker, and maybe a pass rusher, whether Vaughn stays or not? Because you want to start preparing the future there, and why not get a guy behind Bradley Chubb and Von Miller? So, I mean, I like to see the first three picks used for something on the defensive side of the ball before you even touch offense. And now, again, it doesn't sound like they're going to be very aggressive when it comes to free agency outside of what they have to take care of. So I feel like that puts even more pressure on the NFL draft to get this right. They want to keep Alexander Johnson at the interior inside linebacker as well as Josie Jewell. I don't think either one of those guys are long-term Broncos. I don't think either one of those guys are A-plus players. They're both average guys. They're in the C's. And so I definitely see the Broncos trying to take a shot in the draft early. And that could be a first-rounder. As much as I like Patrick Surtain, and I've talked about Patrick Surtain a lot being the ninth pick for Denver, I would not be shocked nor upset if Denver goes with any of these guys on the list. Micah Parsons out of Penn State could be there. Dylan Moses out of Alabama could be there. Nick Bolton out of Missouri. Those guys all could be there. I'd have no issue with that. You know, you want guys that can kind of bracket a tight end, cover a tight end, cover a running back out of the backfield, but also be a sound tackler, guy you feel confident blitzing once in a while, roaming that middle of the field. So I wouldn't be upset with that. But again, if you're going to go with Vaughn, if you're going to pick up Vaughn's option, if you're going to pick up Kareem Jackson's option, doesn't that all but seal how, you know, what you're going to do with the Deshaun situation? And again, you could trade a player away, I suppose, to make up for some of that contract. But you're going. I just don't see it happening. And if you do keep Vaughn, if you do keep Kareem, it also says, hey, we're going to be pretty damn quiet. We're going to secure our guys. That's the mission. And listen, I said this with Zach Stevens earlier with the DNVR Broncos. I said, at the beginning of this whole thing, when they hired George Payton, I didn't see him getting very aggressive. You know, I thought they'd probably stay the course with Drew Lock. I thought they'd probably stay the course with these guys like Vaughn even. You know, lock up Justin Simmons. Lock up guys you think are going to be there in year two under George Payton. Lock those guys up, and hopefully they can get a deal done with Justin Simmons after the franchise tag. And then figure it out. But this next year, like I said, what happens if an owner comes in to buy this thing and it's like a Jerry Jones type owner who comes in and wants to run things? Now you got two general managers acting as one, or two for the price of one, essentially, because you're buying it. And what if that doesn't fly? You know, what if that doesn't work out? What if George Payton's only there for 2 years? What if Denver wins five games next year, and then the second year they win four or five? You're already off to a terrible start. And if somebody lands Deshaun and not Denver, then won't that be a knock? Won't you go, well, George Payton couldn't convince him to come here. He couldn't convince Houston to do the deal with him and get Deshaun. So that will be a knock against him. Either way, if you want to say that's fair or not, that's the truth of it. So there's a lot of big decisions here, but it looks like George Payton, would this be going the safe route? Probably. Just stay the course with what you have. Knowing you've got five more years after this one, evaluate talent this year. Evaluate Von Miller. See if he's a guy that you want to sign to a long-term deal. Or to, not long-term, but like 2 to 3 years, finish your career at Denver. You got to see something in the tank. Is a full-on test year for Philip Lindsay? And will he want to sign with Denver after this year? If he goes out and tears it up, does he want to stay? So I'm beginning to think this is test year, full-on test year. We thought Drew Locke's test year was last year. It's this year. If they don't get Deshaun, it's going to be Drew Locke. One more year to prove it. Philip Lindsay, one more year to prove it. Von Miller, do you want to finish your career in Denver? You better be a guy that's effective and, you know, be in the 13 to 15 sack category. Kind of a prove it year for Bradley Chubb, even though he's their Pro Bowler. I think that he needs to have a really big year. Because so much was talked about the waste of a fifth pick. Shaq Barrett doing his things. Josh Allen doing his things. Quentin Nelson doing his things. I think that Bradley Chubb. So this, yeah. I think for the most part, Denver's going to load it up, get a bunch of guys on contract years or what have you, and make them prove it. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll get to what's on TV tonight. Not much of anything. As well as closing thoughts. But first, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Tonight, the Avs go at it against Arizona, 7 o'clock on ESPN. As far as basketball goes, there's not a lot of the conference games that we're talking about kicking off until later on in the week. Wednesday is the big day. And again, UNC will play Sacramento State at 9 o'clock. 8:30 coverage begins this Wednesday. So we're looking forward to that one. See if the Bears can get past Sac State, move on to that second round. So, be interesting, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Conference week is always a great time. We got our March Madness Challenge going on. Get involved in that. If you haven't, you can message us, text us. If you'd like to get involved still, fill out a bracket for free for a chance to beat me, to beat the hosts, right? And to compete for big prizes, too. Again, if you want to text the show, you can. If you want to get in, 970-478-1301. Again, 970-478-1301. That's the First Advantage text line. All right, closing thoughts. Zach Stevens, very insightful today. Von Miller, the charges were dropped, so no charges, I suppose, for Von. So he gets to move on with his life. And what's the next step for Von Miller? Is he going to be a Bronco? Our guy, Zach Stevens, our insider, saying now he's feeling like Von probably does stay on that $18 million contract going into next season. We know that Justin Simmons got the franchise tag last week. We think that's a means to an end. Hopefully the Broncos don't wait too long to figure out a long-term deal and get Simmons locked up. Joker in the All-Star game, man, that was a lot of fun for him. I don't really care about the game itself. It was like a million to a million. Point total, they don't play defense, whatever, but it's just an excuse for those guys to get together and have fun, I guess. But my takeaway is it kind of feels like the Joker was the popular kid on the bus, man. Like he was, everybody loved him, you know, and he was on the All-Star game the last 2 years. He's made three now. He's arrived. It's pretty incredible to take a step back and think about his career. Drafted second round, kind of a pudgy guy early in his career before he came to Denver. And now he's a household name. No one's screwing up his name as much anymore on national TV. So that to me is the big takeaway is you have a star now. You know, that poll question that we always like to load up, who's the most popular, who's the favorite superstar amongst Denver pro athletes? It's Nikola Jokic now. He is taking that torch with Nolan Arenado gone. And really, Vaughn is now in a stage if he needs to prove it. It's hard for me to say an $18 million guy needs to prove it, but he is now at that stage in his career right now where if he does stay on as a Bronco, he has to prove it. Nathan MacKinnon's up there. But, I mean, you have this guy, Nikola Jokic, that's probably number two favorite to win an MVP title. So, man, good for him. Good for Nikola Jokic. Good for this Denver Nuggets front office. Yeah, Tim Conley took a chance, maybe a chance, but you know he had two guys, Jusuf Nurkić and Nikola Jokic. He took a chance and said, I got to pick one, and the other one's not going to be happy. Jusuf wasn't happy once he was delegated to the bench and lost his minutes to Joker. And by that, once that happened, it was the beginning of the end for the Bosnian beast. And Tim Conley took a chance, and I'd say he flat out won that bad boy. You don't see Jusuf Nurkic's name even close to MVP or All-Star material. That's going to do it for us. Back at it on a huge Top Text Tuesday. Remember, a David Thompson signed jersey. It's going to be beautifully framed. It already is. Freshco Painter South Platte put this in a frame. You're competing for that. Good night, Northern Colorado.